Good morning. Merry Christmas. So if you're new here, or if we just haven't met yet, my name is Pastor Rachel. So I'm going to be giving a little bit of a Christmas message today, which is very exciting. I love Christmas. So what better way to start off than looking at the Christmas story? So if you want to turn in your Bibles or on your devices to Luke 2, that would be amazing. It says, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem and Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from a village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. So this is a big chunk of the Christmas story that we just read. And maybe you're familiar with it, maybe you're not. But as a kid, I had grown up hearing all about the Christmas story. I was actually in a theatrical performance. I was in a little kid's pageant. It was super cute. I got to be an angel. I was maybe six, and I was just so excited. I very clearly remember that I was the angel, and my grandma had always told me that it suited my personality. Just kidding. So I got to wear a long white dress. I got to have the golden tinsel sewn onto it, a big fluffy halo. My mom let me put glitter all over my face. Looking at the pictures now, it was incredibly tacky. But as a kid, I was just so excited and so happy to be dressed as this beautiful angel. It felt like I was part of a fairy tale. My brother, he also was in the pageant. He got to be a wise man. So he dressed in these elegant purple robes and had the big Burger King crown on his head because it was the best we could find, and he had this little gift that he would bring to baby Jesus in the play, and I was just so excited. I just can't get over this memory of feeling like I was in a fairy tale. The other thing I very clearly remember is walking up the aisle, tripping on my skirt, and falling face first in front of the congregation, because some things never change. I haven't done that here yet. Anyway, so the play had all of the trappings of this beautiful Christmas nativity story. And I was just so excited, and I had all those warm fuzzies and all those holiday feelings that I still so often get. It's so easy at Christmas time to focus on all the twinkly lights and on the little baby in the manger and the Christmas cheer and all the happiness and get those warm fuzzies and that happy smile on your face. It feels like it's this beautiful fairy tale. But the Christmas story isn't a fairy tale. It was real life. So I have a question for all you ladies out there. Raise your hand if, when you gave birth to your firstborn child, if you would like and just be so happy to give birth in this smelly manger filled with hay and dirty animals and whatever comes with dirty animals. Just would that be your ideal situation to give birth? My hand isn't actually raised. No hands are raised because it's not sanitary. It's not clean. It's not the fairy tale ideal of a way for a king to be born. Now Jesus, he was the coming Messiah. He was the baby that was prophesied to come and to save the world. He was the hero that they had been waiting for. It's really easy at Christmas time to idealize the Christmas story or to kind of just pass over the setting. Oh yeah, he was born in a manger in a stable, and then you just continue on. But this Christmas, I want us to focus a little bit on the setting and the situation that Jesus was born into. Because if you have this Messiah being born, this long foretold Savior coming, is God just going to leave what happens and where he's born up to chance? No, there is a purpose and there's a plan to all of the details of the setting and the situation that Jesus was born into. And that's a little bit about what I'm going to talk about today. So first, we're going to look at Jesus' family. If you are not familiar with the Christmas story, here's a little bit of context. We see this woman that we talked about in the passage. Her name is Mary. Now, Mary was engaged to Joseph. She wasn't married yet. She was still a virgin. So this angel comes to Mary and says, Mary, you have been chosen by God to give birth to the Savior, to the Son of God. And Mary's confused. She says, I'm not married. I'm still a virgin. This makes no sense. But there was not supposed to be an earthly father to Jesus. His father was God. So, of course, her fiancé is a little bit confused. All of a sudden, his fiancé is pregnant. He doesn't know what's going on. And God actually sent an angel to him as well and gave him a message of what was going on. But hearing this story about Mary and how she was specifically chosen by God for her obedience, and hearing about how Joseph reacted with grace and kindness and didn't just throw her to the curb, you look at this family and you think, you know what? This couple, they're nice, decent-sounding people. They're not jerks. They sound like good people. And I'm sure they were good people, but they weren't the ideal fairy tale couple. They weren't rich. Mary and Joseph, they didn't own anything of worth. They weren't powerful. They didn't have influence. If you actually read up on it, experts actually believe that Mary was a teen mom, that she was an early young teenager when she became pregnant with Jesus. Mary became pregnant out of wedlock in a culture, in a society where that was an executable offense. They weren't going to get lots of happy glances from the other moms at the school as they walked by with their kid. Really nice people, but not the ideal. So I actually, on Facebook, I saw this picture, this caricature of what they would have looked like in modern times, and it really struck me. It's not how we picture the nativity scene. It's not how we picture Mary and Joseph. But it's probably more accurate to what it would be like today than the idealized romantic version we have in our heads. Nice people, but not the stereotypical perfect parents for the Savior of the world. Now, if this were a fairy tale, it would be so different. If this were a beautiful fairy tale, Jesus would have been born of a king and a queen. He would have been born to parents with power and influence who could take care of him financially and have stability. He would be born of parents who were at the right age and stage in life to have him. He would be born of parents who wouldn't cause him to be judged through his life, to have people questioning his paternity and his conception. But like I said earlier, the nativity story isn't just a fairy tale. So is this a mistake? Did the angel get the wrong name to go and talk to, was he supposed to go find Margaret instead of Mary? Of course not. God wouldn't just leave this up to chance. There was a plan and a purpose for this. Because we have a God who looks past the outward situation. He looks past the material. Jesus didn't need to inherit power from his earthly family because he had power from God. These struggles and these scandals and the whole circumstance that Jesus was born into had this purpose. It highlights to us that Jesus was supposed to be a different kind of king than what was expected. Now, back then, Jesus was born into the Israelites. And the Israelites at that time, they weren't their own country or their own power. They were under the thumb of the Roman Empire. The Romans just ruled over them and people hated it. No one liked the Romans. So these people, they expected this long foretold Messiah and the Savior, this person who was going to come and save them. They were expecting freedom from physical bondage. They were expecting a warrior to come and to save them from the Romans, free them from tyranny. But that wasn't what God had in mind. Jesus didn't come to free us from the Romans or any earthly power or authority. Jesus came to rule in our hearts and our minds, not on an earthly throne. He didn't come to be the king of Bethlehem, but to be the king of our hearts and the king of our lives. He came to offer us freedom, not from others, but from sin. But that was something that back then so many people would have had such a hard time wrapping their minds around, especially if he was the son of a king. Jesus was born in a, some would say a dysfunctional maybe, family for a purpose. There was a reason to it. Now, while Mary was still pregnant, and not just little baby bump pregnant, but probably very pregnant, Caesar, who was the ruling king at the time, he issued a decree that there was to be a census. So all of the people had to go back to the town or city of their family's original origin. So for Joseph and for Mary, that was Bethlehem, where Joseph's family was from. So they began the long journey. They didn't have planes they had trees. What am I talking about? They didn't have planes. They didn't have cars back then. So they would have had to walk or ride on a donkey, which I've never been pregnant, but it does not sound comfortable. Jesus wasn't born in a place of royalty. He wasn't born in a city of influence with rulers. He wasn't born in a rich and wealthy area. Jesus was born in a little town called Bethlehem. He wasn't born in Jerusalem or in Rome or Athens or Alexandria. He wasn't born in any political, commercial, cultural, social, or educational significant city at that time. He was born in a little town that actually means, if you look it up in the original language, house of bread. And so there's all sorts of different reasons why Jesus was specifically born in Bethlehem, but I want to focus on one. And to be honest, it never made sense to me as a kid. Because I had that fairy tale vision in my head. Jesus was this coming king and Messiah. He should have been born in this beautiful castle or in this town with this beautiful name, something from a fairy tale like Cair Paravel from Narnia. But instead, he's born at the house of bread. I love bread. I love carbs, but it's not what I pictured. It didn't make sense in my own mental image. So why then was he born here? When Micah, the Old Testament prophet, foretold the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, he emphasized its lack of significance to the world. In Micah 5:2, it says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, will come from you on my behalf." God didn't make a mistake when he had his son born in Bethlehem. It wasn't just a coincidence. When I was in college, I had an internship in this small northern town. It was about 5,000 people. So from Toronto, I'm from Toronto, it seemed really, really small, even smaller than it probably was. They didn't even have a pizza place. It was a long 3 months. But I found that some of the teenagers and some of the people there, they had this mentality that they were born in this deadbeat, nothing small town. And because of that, they were stuck in that deadbeat, small, nothing town. And some of them were just convinced that because of where they were born, they were deadbeat, small, ordinary, nothing people. It was really sad. And I found, not just in that town, but in so many, that people born in ordinary circumstances or in small towns, they get that mentality of, oh, I'm not born special. I'm not born in Ottawa where I can meet people of influence. I don't have these ways to interact with people. I don't have the same opportunities. I'm just ordinary. Most of the world is just ordinary. And it made me think that maybe the reason that Jesus was born in a small, ordinary town was because God wanted his son to be approachable. The angels didn't announce the birth of Jesus to King Herod or to Caesar. They announced it to ordinary shepherds. Jesus wasn't born in a beautiful palace far from the people who needed him. He wasn't born in a private hospital. He was born in an ordinary small little town. Because God cares about ordinary, everyday people. We have a God who loves just as much the smallest, most poverty-stricken person in the little city of Terrace as he loves the prime minister sitting in parliament right now. There is no human so low that he or she can escape the love of God. So we've looked at the family that Jesus was born into. We've looked at the city he was born into. So now we're going to look at something a little bit closer. So I have an example, actually. You might not know this about me, but I have a Pinterest account. I'm obsessed with my Pinterest account. I have all of the different Pinterest boards for every little thing. There's also a private setting, so I'm going to show you a snippet of my Pinterest board, one of my private ones. It is actually some room decor for my future children. It's private because I know some people would laugh at me, but that's okay. I love you guys enough that I'm going to share. So when I picture where my kids are going to have their first days and moments of life, I picture something beautiful and cozy, usually pink and gold, because they're my favorite colors. Something beautiful. I have a boy section too. But as much as I have boy sections, I have girl sections, I have a mix of all the different things I would like to see in my children's future rooms, there is no way I would ever pin a picture of the nativity scene on my Pinterest board. There's just no way. I would not pin a picture of a stable where they're exposed to the elements, where there's dirty hay that they have to sleep in, probably rotting things in the corner, dirty animals and all this stuff. There's just no way my child would be sleeping in one of those. I would not pin that on my Pinterest board. But for Mary and Joseph, that was the only option. When they got to Bethlehem, all of the inns and all of the hotels were full. There was no room for them. There was no bed. There was no cradle for Jesus to be in. So we ended up in a manger. Now, this point I find is so important about who Jesus is. This is actually something that I talked with the kids in Kids Express about a month ago. But this, for me, this just highlights so much of what Jesus is about. Because Jesus is God. Jesus didn't have to be born into poverty if he didn't want to be. Jesus didn't have to sleep in a dirty manger if he didn't want to. Jesus chose to be born into these circumstances. And that's because a word that is so closely tied to the name of Jesus is sacrifice. Jesus sacrificed having an important, influential, royal family because it made a point about who he was to us. Jesus sacrificed being born in a big, large city because of the point it made for us. Jesus sacrificed having his first moments of life in a clean room with a comfortable bed so he could sleep in a dirty manger because that's what his whole mission to earth was about. He came to sacrifice for us. And that's just something that I find so beautiful, regardless of whether or not it's a fairy tale. Jesus' first crib was a manger. It wasn't a throne. He wasn't royal by birth. He wasn't powerful as a baby. He was born humbly. He was born in a lowly way in a stable outdoors. Now this Jesus, he's still a king, make no mistake. But the kind of king that he is stands out as we look at this manger. Because he never really left the manger. I mean, sure, he grew up, he learned to walk, he eventually left the stable and went elsewhere. But 33 years later, when Jesus died, that manger comes to mind again. Because it brings us back to the same humble beginnings as we realize that this king is no ordinary king. He's a king who's willing to die for his subjects. He's a king who's willing to sacrifice for us. No matter where we were born, no matter what our family looks like, no matter what our first crib looked like, he was willing to sacrifice for us. This was his purpose all along. To save us through sacrificial love. It's not just an Easter story. It's his whole life. God's plan and his purpose were clearly on display at that first Christmas. Jesus' birth stands in stark opposition to what the world thinks makes someone a king. Jesus was born into poverty, not into privilege. He was born into humility, not into power. He was born into obscurity, not prominence. And that was all on purpose. Jesus' humble beginnings serve notice to everyone on earth that Jesus' way of doing things is different than anything we'll ever encounter. But this is part of what makes this story so beautiful. It's not a fairy tale. It's not made up. It doesn't have the king and the queen and the perfect storyline. But it's beautiful because we serve a king who is willing to sacrifice for us. We serve a king who was born into poverty and into hardship and into difficult circumstances by choice because he knew that it was for us. So this Christmas, I really want to challenge all of you and myself, because it's so easy to look at this beautiful nativity and idealize it and see it as a perfect, beautiful fairy tale. But this Christmas, I want you to look and remember the sacrifice, that it's real life. Remember the hardship and the difficulty that Jesus went through for us. Because this is far more beautiful than anything you're ever going to find underneath your Christmas tree. This is something that's going to last you your entire life and beyond. Because Jesus came to offer us freedom and salvation as a free gift for us. So this Christmas, I challenge you to remember that.